You are listening to Around Noon on 90.3. I'm Dee Perry, and this is the show for Wednesday, the 20th of August. This is one of the more radio-friendly pieces of music made by the heavy metal group GWAR. The group has its devotees, but it's far from mainstream recognition or acceptance. According to GWAR lead singer Dave Brocky, that's quite all right, because the band relishes the freedom to keep making the music that they want to make. Brocky's comments echo those of about three dozen other artists, painters, photographers, writers, dancers, and more musicians, who appear in the documentary by filmmaker Michael Dean called DIY or Die. The film subjects are actually a perfect fit for the festival in which they'll be seen on screen this weekend, the 20,000 Leagues Under the Industry Film Festival. It's the festival's fourth annual outing, and its mission continues to be sharing voices and visions that won't be part of the mainstream, but will be thought-provoking. Joining me by phone now is one of those thought-provoking filmmakers, Michael Dean. Michael, thanks for being with us today around noon.
Thank you. It's an honor.
Oh, well, gosh. Now, you describe the people you profile in your documentary as people for whom the need to make art is the biggest reason to get up in the morning. And I'm wondering if you see yourself as one of those people.
Yeah, I set an alarm so I could get up and be on the phone at 9 a.m. Los Angeles time, and that's actually pretty early for me.
Yeah, middle of the night almost.
Well, you know, artists kind of keep their own hours. I generally work till about 4 in the morning and get up around 10 or 11 and then take a little cat nap in the afternoon.
Mm-hmm. And is your everyday work being out on the street somewhere making documentaries?
Most of my everyday work involves sitting in front of a computer administrating art, which is... Unfortunately, a big part of being an independent artist is you have to be the company and the distributor and the artist all at the same time.
Mm-hmm. And so you've done most of the work then. That's the smallest part of what you're doing. Is that what you're saying?
No, it's about 50-50. Basically, if you want to make it in any capacity, as far as like not having to have a day job as an artist, you have to have two jobs. I work about 6 hours, 6 days a week on art, and work about 6 hours, 6 or 7 days a week on, you know, email, phone calls, interviews, faxes, etc.
Yeah, and I'm sure you had to do quite a bit of that to pull this project together. As I mentioned, you've got about three dozen folks in all walks of life in terms of the arts. Talk about the idea about what you wanted to get across with this film.
I was basically trying to show people that inspired me. It's kind of my peers and my heroes, and some of my peers are my heroes. Some of the lines blur. I mean, when I was a kid, I loved Pink Floyd, but Roger Waters was like this mythical creature living in a castle in England. There's no way. And I wrote him a letter, and he never wrote me back. Yeah. But like, you know, Minor Threat, I could get their phone number and call them up. Or like, you know, Fugazi or GWAR, I can email them and they'll write me back. I actually know GWAR pretty well. The singer, Dave Brocky, once accidentally hit me in the head with a bass guitar. I had three stitches, and I still have a scar in my head. And I'm on guest list for life for anything he does because I didn't sue, he says.
That's great. Was that in the course of making the documentary? Or
no, that was in the course of dancing at a show before GWAR in a band called Death Piggy. It was a bunch of art students. Some of the best art comes from art. Music comes from art school dropouts, I think.
Mm. And how would you characterize the majority of the folks that you portrayed in the documentary? Art school dropouts, folks who are mid career.
It's mostly my peers. It's mostly people aged 30 to 40 that are making a small living at art, don't have a day job, and you know have influenced people worldwide and make really cool stuff. And then I also put some people in that, you know, have never shown their art outside of their bedroom but still make equally compelling stuff. And I thought it was important to, you know, put kind of well-known people with unknown people in the same spotlight to kind of downplay the name thing and upplay talent and vision.
Hmm. And they had a pretty similar vision. I mean, there were lots of variations along the same theme, it seemed like. And you divide the film up into several kinds of categories, beginning with purpose. Let's talk about purpose for a lot of the folks that you have in the film.
It comes back to that thing of getting up in the morning, you know, having a reason to live. I've worked in the corporate world. I've put on a tie and gone and worked in offices, and I've done, you know, I've dug ditches. I've done basically every job you can do. And I turned down scholarships in college to go live on the street and be a punk rocker in Washington, D.C., because it made more sense to me. I'm not a martyr, you know. It's not like I'm suffering for my art. It's like I'm living for my art, and I love doing that. And everybody in the movie kind of does the same thing. And I wanted to kind of portray what I see as like this American do-it-yourself, pull-it-up-by-your-bootstrap thing that I think is part of, like, you know, I'm not a flag waver at all, but I think it's kind of part of, like, what made America great. And I think it's kind of been co-opted and shut out to a certain extent by big corporations these days. And most people would rather just be a shill, you know. I mean, it sounds really cliche, but most people, I think, would rather just put on a suit and go make a bunch of money for the man because they don't realize there's an option. And I want to show that there are options. I think it's not exclusive to America. Everyone in the movie is from America, but, you know, it's a very European ethic, too. I'm going over to Europe with the film. These people called the Mumbo Art Center in Manchester are bringing me over September and October to do a tour in Europe. I'm really psyched about that. And, you know, there's this undercurrent all over the world. There's people that help each other out. It's kind of like, it's not for money. You know, you get gas money and a place to stay and, you know, maybe food if you're lucky. And, you know, I make a McDonald's wage working 80 hours a week. I was kind of inspired by my dad, too. It was like punk rock and my dad. Huh. Punk rock on one side and my dad on the other side, who's really conservative. He's 83 now. Mm-hmm. But he always worked 60 hours a week for himself rather than working 40 hours a week for someone else, and I really looked up to that.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that comes through in that first section, that a lot of people echo that theme. I get really depressed if I don't make stuff, if I'm not creative, and the ultimate goal is freedom, even though it seems like you're working harder to achieve that freedom.
Yeah, there's a movie I like a lot. It's actually a big money Hollywood movie. It's Fight Club, and it's got a line in it that's actually in the book. I don't know if it's in the movie, but someone's like, they're trying to save themselves from a life of watching TV and eating cheese. You know, I would rather be an active creator on a small scale than a consumer, or even what I see in Hollywood, which is a lot of people waiting for the chance to be a big creator. You know, I'd rather do something now on a small scale than wait for my big ship to come in next year. When I first moved here 2 years ago, you know, I had a bunch of friends that were doing that, and they like didn't really look at me as legitimate because I was operating below the radar making this tiny film, and they're still waiting to make their big movie. And I've got a film, and it's available in every Tower Records in the country, and I'm taking it on tour in America and in Europe, and they're still waiting for their big chance, and they still don't consider me legitimate.
Because you did it yourself, yeah.
Yeah.
One of the things that, in another section, integrity, seems to echo that, too, with all the artists, or at least a lot of them that you talked to, that there was a sense that if that big corporate connection came along, if someone made them that big offer, that they wouldn't take it. Did you find that to be the case?
Actually, there was a funny review of one of the only negative reviews of it, of the movie, said that that they thought that there were people in it that would grab a Nike sponsorship in a minute. I think most of them wouldn't. I think a couple of them would. And, I mean, Mike Watt would probably never take a Nike sponsorship, but he's on a major label and he's in the movie, and I see no problem with that. He's one of the few people that I think has kept his integrity while being in that system. Because he kind of looks at it, I think, like they work for him, not he works for them.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, I have a book out that's through a company that's not huge, but it's called $30 Film School. plug. $30 Film School is the book that I wrote on how to do what I did, you know, make a movie for no money and take it on tour and keep your integrity. It's got a lot of, you know, pep talk of what I learned and what keeps me going.
Let's talk about that. How did you do what you did?
basically gave up wanting to have a social life. I kind of have this feeling that the people who change the world aren't out in a bar on a Saturday night. They're in front of a computer.
Mm-hmm.
This guy, Genesis Peorage, once said, change your room and you can change your life. I really believe that. You know, and with the internet especially, like, you can affect profound changes from one room. And I don't, you know, I get out and live life, and I basically spend 4 months in front of a computer so I can go out and spend 1 month on the road meeting people and, like, living larger than I could live in 5 months of doing neither.
Yeah. There's another section, self-definition, where many people said that they didn't consider the work they do art. Do you?
Yeah, I used to think artist was a dirty word when I was playing in rock bands, and I was like, nah, I'm just a musician. But, I mean, I kind of had, like, I don't know if a spiritual change is the word, but like an attitudinal change making this film. Like, I learned from the people in it. I mean, they say that movies are directed for a second time in the editing, and documentaries are directed for the first time in the editing. And it's kind of true. Like, you know, in editing a documentary, the people in it kind of tell you where to go with it to an extent. I mean, you have an idea, but they take you places.
Yeah.
And watching them hundreds of times over and over and over with my editor, Miles, it just, like, it sunk into my head, and I was like, okay, this is the truth. Like, I distilled my truth out of it, and it helped define me. And I've taken that and walked away with it, and it's something that's really stayed with me.
You deal also with adversity. what's been some of the toughest time for you in putting this project and others together?
You know, where's the rent coming from? I haven't had a day job in 2 years. I've worked 3 weeks at a day job in 2 years, temping in a law firm in Los Angeles, and, you know, barely scraped by the rest of the time. And I kind of think that the universe likes art, and if you devote yourself to it, the universe takes care of you.
Has that been the case?
It's been the case for the past couple of years. You know, I've spent 22 years before that making art for, you know, losing money at art or making 50 cents an hour at art. I made about 50 cents an hour making this movie, and I made about $5 an hour writing my book. It worked out, too. I've done the math on it. you know, and that's before any sales. So I may make some back on the sales of the book, but it's always a struggle. And you never know where it's coming from, and you've just always gotta keep on top of it. And also, like, you know, people saying bad stuff. I mean, not everyone cheers you on when you do this. I remember standing in line. This is a tiny one, but I remember standing in line at a store buying 10 blank VHS tapes, and this kid in line behind me last year said, "Cool, mister, you gonna tape the Olympics?" And I said, "No." I proudly said, "I'm gonna send out copies of my movie to festivals." And the kid looked really disappointed, like it was cooler to consume than to create.
Ah.
And I feel that sometimes from people, but most people are pretty supportive.
Yeah. And then you wrap up with giving back, and I'm wondering what your philosophy is of giving back. Who are you giving back to? The world, the arts community, your own spirit?
Yeah, all of the above. You know, I do a lot of art for trade. I do a lot of art for free. People do a lot of art and trade and help for free for me. I plug people all the time. Like, you know, I help people out in any way I can. When I send out my email list, it's not just about me. It's about other artists that I like. You know, I have this concept of art karma. It sounds really hippie, but, you know, I'm like a punk rocker with a hippie sensibility, I guess. You know, I do believe that if you put out good things come back to you. And I see it in other people, and I've seen it myself in the past. Like, being selfish with art is counterproductive. Like, white-knuckling it, like, I've got to get me out there, you know, kicks you in the pants in the long run. And I think that if you divorce yourself from it to an extent and be a cheerleader for art, yours and other people's, you're going to go further with it than if you're like, me, me, me.
Well, I've got to say, you've done a good job of getting it out there with this film, DIY or Die. Michael, thank you so much for talking with us.
Thanks. The website's kittyfeet.com.
What was that again?
Kittyfeet, K-I-T-T-Y-F-E-E-T, and go support the 20,000 leagues under the industry. They're cool people. I've met them.
All right.
Thank you.
Michael Dean, thanks again. The California filmmaker has a film, DIY or Die, which will be on screen this Friday night at 8 for the 20,000 Leagues Under the Industry Film Festival going on at the Beachland Ballroom. Coming up, we'll hear from a group of Texas filmmakers who are learning to use the camera even before they learn how to drive. That's as you stay tuned to Around Noon here on 90.3.
Like a sad Wilson.